Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 5, Matthew in chapter 5 on Sunday nights, we started a series on the teachings of Christ, and what a blessing it has already been, starting with the first message that we received at his, what's been recorded in the scriptures when he was 12, and then all the way to now he has left the multitudes and went up into a mountain and called his disciples, his apostles, that would be his apostles. And he calls them up to the mountain, and we know the next couple few chapters here as the Sermon on the Mount, a Sermon on the Mount. And as he brings them together, the first thing that he wants to present to them is the mind of God and the thinking that he would disciple them to have. And these would be attitudes and the blessings that are associated with the attitudes of Christianity. What Jesus was establishing on earth was Christianity. And what a blessing it's already been as we've looked at some of these. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is a blueprint for New Testament Christianity. And the Beatitudes is the thoughts of God that we need to adopt. They're not natural. It's not something that you're born to think this way. This is something that you have to develop. You have to realize this is how God would have us to think, and this is how I want to give my life to thinking. And there's blessings associated with that. The first was, blessed are the poor in spirit, and we studied that. And to understand the spiritual understanding of that was those who acknowledge their spiritual poverty or basically realize that we're sinners. We have a sin nature, and we are sinners, and we see ourselves as sinners. When you see yourself as a sinner, you can get saved. That's blessed, amen? That's the beginning of blessings. The second was, blessed are they that mourn, and this is having a broken heart over our sin, a sorrow that leads to confession. And when you confess your sins, the blessing is we can have forgiveness of our sins. And so what a blessing it is to have this attitude. I know that I'm a sinner. I see myself, and I have to fight every day to turn away from a sinful nature and yield to the nature of God, which will help me to think right. And then once I've got that, then I need to, when I do sin, and we all will because we are sinners, but when we do sin, we never accept it, but we mourn over that sin. That forsaking of that sin, that's something that we have to get a mindset as we are sorry that we committed that sin. And we go to God and we say, God, I want to confess that I'm a sinner, and then I want to forsake it, meaning I don't want to do that again. And when you truly confess and forsake your sin, then you can have forgiveness for that sin, even as a believer. And there's blessings associated with that. Well, tonight, let's go ahead and stand with me. Let's go ahead and read, starting in verse 1. Let's go ahead and read all the way down to verse 12. I've been gone a couple weeks and have to bring some of these thoughts back to mind to you. But Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them. Now this is God who had been manifested in the flesh, teaching humanity God's thoughts, the mindset of a creator God for humanity. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Tonight we're going to be looking at, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord God, and thank you for loving us, and thank you for your precious word that you preserved for us, an opportunity to be in church, that which you have established that would represent you, and hear the word of God being preached. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you would anoint the preaching of thy word once again, but that you would also anoint the hearing, that each one here would hear exactly what they need to hear in order to grow in their Christian life and draw closer to Thee and receive the blessings that You want to bestow upon us. Bless in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Blessed are the meek. Possibly the most misunderstood of the Christian attitudes. There's no worldly-minded person. No worldly-minded person wants to live a life of meekness, because they know it's not what brings the world's blessings. In the world, when you show weakness, you get run over. People will just step over you to get to the next tier and positions. No one goes to a meekness seminar. Yeah, to learn how to be meek. No one asked someone else to teach me how to be meek. It's not of the worldly mindset. What you will find, though, in the world, you'll find seminars for how to be successful. And you'll find seminars to how to win. Whatever it is, sports camps or sports seminars or whatever that may. You'll find seminars on how to be promoted at work. How to get a raise. How to influence people. How to make money. So many people are, there's seminars, you get it all the time. I'm going to teach you how to make $1 million, and they're living in the poorhouse, and they're making money, but they were going to teach you how to make money. And you see that all the time. But as we look here in Matthew chapter 5, we find Jesus, who is God, manifested in the flesh, proclaiming how to have the blessings of God. Blessed are. And seven blessings are seven attitudes. Two of blessed in persecution and different things. We'll get to that. But it's God teaching born-again believers how to live in order to have the blessings of God. As we look to the definition, the Webster's definition, English definition of the word meek or meekness, you'll find a lot of different words describing that. The one I seen that I just realized that's a worldly definition would be spiritless. You'll find words like gentleness, lowliness, submissive, mild. A lot of different words trying to explain human understanding of meekness. Most, unless you've been taught, you would associate and relate meekness to weakness. That's how the world would see it. But it's not God's definition. Bible definition by illustration. I think that we find the stories and we find Bible characters in the Bible. It's more than just literature. We study the Bible to learn the very mind of God. And so I want to take you to two illustrations in the Bible that helps us to understand biblical meekness. First of all, in Numbers in chapter 12. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 12, we find God reveals some things to us about a Bible character named Moses. A definition by illustration, understanding the life of Moses. But the Bible says in Numbers in chapter 12 and verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." So we have a Bible character to look to if you're wanting to understand biblical meekness. I don't think that anyone here would say that Moses was a weak man. We find Moses there as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he realizes his people. And in Exodus in chapter 2, we'll not go there, but verse 12, we find that he was a fighter. He's seen his people being abused, and he stood up against those who were abusing the Hebrews, and he killed a man. I don't think that would have been somebody that would have been weak. He was a fighter. We find that as he would look to God, and he would have great courage. Later on, when he would come back, he would go before Pharaoh, and he was bold enough and had great courage to stand before Pharaoh and demand that he let God's people go out of Egypt. He then would possess great power with God as he would stand before the Red Sea in obedience to God, and he would part the Red Sea. God would do it, but through using Moses, the Red Sea would be parted. Now we go back to where the Bible says in Numbers in chapter 12, and now it's telling us Moses was very meek. Even after all these things had taken place, we find the story here, then why God gives us this about Moses in chapter 12. We find that Miriam and Aaron had spoke against Moses. In the very next verse, the Bible says in verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, got the three of them together. He says, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Now, this is right after the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. And he said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. He says, I've elevated him beyond that. Who is faithful in all mine house, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Now, some would say, you deserve it. Shall teach you not to talk negatively about me. Moses had power with God. And we find what Moses did next reveals more of a biblical meekness. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Heal her. Instead of wanting her to be punished for what she had done against him, he humbles himself before God and begs God to forgive her and to heal her from the leprosy. Another Bible definition by illustration, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. Do you see that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. When you learn that, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Blessed are the meek. Is there anybody that would for 1 minute believe that Jesus was weak? The creator of all things, omnipotent, anything but. But in describing himself to humanity and telling them what to learn about him was his meekness. I believe Philippians in chapter 2 defines spiritual meekness. We've seen it in Moses in the Old Testament, and we see the perfect illustration of Christ in the New Testament. And we find here in the book of Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind, this mentality that would lead to an attitude, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, for he was God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Meekness is not weakness. It's not spiritless. It's not being deficient of strength. It's not being a doormat for others to walk on. It is power, self-will, pride, and anger altogether under control. Under control and yielded to the will of God. It's all of that. We can be angry and sin not, and we ought to be angry at certain things. Angry, being angry and sinning not is allowing your anger to be revealed in meekness. Understanding its power under control. As a born-again believer, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. But it's not my will, it's His will to be done. And whatever it is that God would have me to do in this life, in this body, in this world, I must be able to bring it under control, the body under control, the mind under control, my will under control, my pride under control, my anger under control, and yield to doing what God would have me to do. That is meekness. Not my will, but thy will be done. Meekness. It's listed with the fruit of the Spirit. Because you don't have it on your own. I don't have it on my own. But in Christ, I can do it. In Christ, I can be all that He wants me to be. I can love. I can have joy. I can peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Don't for 1 minute think that any Christian ought to just lay down and be a doormat for people to walk over. That's not Christianity. That was not Jesus Christ. He understood his purpose. He understood what the Father sent him here to do. And he wouldn't let his own will get in the way of doing the will of the Father, even if it meant laying his life down on the cross. What an example. What a testimony. We allow our pride to get in the way sometimes of doing the will of God. Somebody hurts your feelings, and you want to hurt them. That's not glorifying God. No, it's not. The Bible says, blessed, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Now there's blessing, and then associated with being meek and following after the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, blessed, for they shall inherit the earth. I believe that there's blessings now, but there's also going to be an inheritance, and he's talking about the inherit the earth is coming back with Christ to rule and to reign with Christ for 1,000 years on this earth. And we had better be getting under used to the mind of Christ now, because as we come back, we will rule and reign with Christ. And we're going to inherit the earth. It'll be a 1,000-year millennial reign. And he's talking about that when we come back. This is the mindset we're going to have as we come back with Christ. And he sits on the throne. And so we have these future blessings we know, but there's also the temporary, the blessings that we have in this life as we yield our minds to this understanding of meekness. God blesses the meek, not the proud and the arrogant. I believe we can presently enjoy the peace and joy and contentment. As once again, we look back to Matthew chapter 11. Look back to see what he says there. And this is present. This is right now. When he says unto them, learn of me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I mean, we're doing the work of Christ. We need to take the yoke of Christ upon us and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's Christianity today. And as we do this, ye shall find rest unto your souls. So as we adopt this mentality that God would have us to adopt and apply it to our Christian life in dealing with other people and certain circumstances and situations, as I apply this biblical principle of the attitude of meekness, God blesses me. There's something about being able to forgive the unforgivable. When I'm able to do that, and I can't do it on my own, but in Christ I can, because it's part of meekness. Colossians in chapter 3, and I'm not going to be long tonight, but boy, this is a powerful truth. In Colossians in chapter 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Meekness. Who are you to say I'm not going to forgive somebody for doing something to you? Who are you to think that you can get by with that and still have a walk with Christ? I'm here to tell you tonight, you can't. You might try, but you're going to lose the blessings that God wants to give you. You're going to lose that peace. You're going to lose that comfort. You're going to lose that contentment. When you have something that you're holding on to, even though you know it's something God wants you to do and you fail to do it, you cannot have the contentment of God. you'll have the chastisement and the conviction of God. It's part of yielding to Him and saying, Lord, strengthen me. Help me. For I want to do what you want me to do. If it's forgiveness, then Lord, strengthen me to forgive. If it's love, Lord, strengthen me to love the unlovable. Help me to restore those in need of restoration. Yeah. We can do what God says to do. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want you to see this. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. And the servant of the Lord. If you're saved, that's what you're called to do with your life. Exalt Christ, serve the Lord, be Christ-like. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. There's that word again. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. No matter what somebody else does, you don't base what you do based upon what they are doing to you. No, you base what you do upon God's will for your life. And God's will for your life is to surrender your will to His will. And that's part of meekness. Power under control. Do you have to? No, you don't have to. Can you stand your ground? Yes, you can stand your ground, but you can't do it and have the blessings of God. For blessed are the meek. It's power under control. It's anger under control. It's yielding. In meekness. Instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, because that's what it's all about, is seeing souls saved. Helping people to see Christ in you so that they might want that. And that they may recover themselves once you have the testimony and God uses your testimony, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil or taken captive by him at his will. God blesses and uses meekness. So how do I develop or obtain the spiritual meekness? You got to get saved. A lost person will never obtain this. It's not natural. It's not of the human nature. It's of the divine nature. Amen. It is. You got to get saved. If you get saved, listen to me, you have God in you. You have the fruit of the Spirit in you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as you have the Holy Spirit, as you're saved, then you need to seek Christ-likeness. And you seek Christ-likeness, you get there by yielding to His Spirit. And yielding to His Holy Spirit will produce power under control. Meekness. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Wow. The Beatitudes. The teachings of Christ to establish genuine Christianity. The world we're living in, we're getting so far away from it. You know how we need to get back to it. Are you there? Do you desire it? Do you desire the blessings of God? Blessed, God says, Jesus taught, blessed are the meek. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word, and especially, Lord, as we're looking at the teachings of Christ and how important the Sermon on the Mount and beginning all of it with this idea of our mindset, our attitude, our right thinking. I pray, God, that we would continue to look to you and to develop this mindset in our own hearts and minds. Bless our people, Lot, tonight. And God, only you know how you want to use this in each one of our lives. I pray that we'd be willing to yield to whatever that might be. If there's someone here tonight that does not know you and as their personal Lord and Savior, God, they need to look to you to be able to apply this to their lives. Bless in this invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.